This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
So basically, back in the day, there were a lot of orcs and a lot of humans, and they fought a lot.
A new mission.
There is a place known as the Vault of Thorns. The Vault can help you in your fight against this twisted heart menace.
New characters.
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
We're getting off to a wrong foot already.
Hey, Rag! Should I slit its throat? Blood Tusk, are these the women we have joining the crew?
And a gold mine of new accents for Troy.
Are you the crew?
Oh, wait, that's not what I want. Let's do something.
Oh, it's just so entertaining.
Wait, how does Lork sound?
Merry Christmas and a happy new adventure begins right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 30 is about to begin, and I want to welcome you to the next chapter of the adventures of our motley crew. Now, Professor Berger's actually on some sort of break. I don't know what, but we did end up finding, I kind of dug through Baron's things, and I found this weird journal he was keeping. But I don't want to read it to you guys without him, so I'm just going to call him in here. One second, guys.
Hey, Baron, get in here.
Howdy, y'all. Well, you may not have known this, but I've been a poet all along, and I've been writing poetry our whole journey. Here's one poem I find extremely poignant. Lork Galabras Gormley, Howie Ben and Jason, with whom I've slayed and shot my gun. Thanks to them, the battle for Trunau was won. Whenever the sun does set and the cigarillos burn out, I reckon my debt to all these louts will never be paid, but lessened with the favors we trade. Though the battles are long and the stakes are high, we all stand strong, and I know where I belong. The witch, the priest, the ranger, and I.
And here's your first Tom Exposition fact of the day. This is episode 30. You have recorded 30 episodes. That's 15 plus 15 and 29 plus 1.
Wow, he's really sharp.
I'm gonna sit over here. Sorry, I'm late.
Really missed him.
He's got.
I did not see that.
Is
coming
he the
out.
Only character with like breaking the fourth wall type of information going on?
Did he's
he
just, he's
did
just
he just
a weird
say
guy.
That to the same whole room? That's incredible.
He's a like seventh level oracle.
He's like Deadpool.
Yeah, but like way less enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, come on. He's way.
We love Tom.
He's so much more fun than Deadpool.
Yeah. And he's got his seersucker suit on. He's dressed to the nines. And this one is like a white seersucker suit. It's like, I wanted to match the Ivory Hall.
When in room. It's camouflage.
Guys like my snakeskin boots? That's real snake.
Oh, those are quite handsome.
Anyways, so what's going on? What happened? Is this a potluck? I brought wings. No, I didn't.
Oh, man.
Nice guy.
Halgar's like, please, Tom, Mr. Exposition, have a seat.
How did this guy get on the council?
That's exactly what I wanted to ask, too. Exactly.
How did he live through that battle? What exactly was he doing during the fight?
He ran back to his used car lot and he hid underneath.
Hid in the trunk of a Volkswagen.
I knew you wouldn't have.
In the trunk of a 75 Chevy. Which, by the way, is basically being given away right now. For the price of 3,000 gold pieces.
What do I got to do to put you in this Chevy today?
Everyone's kind of getting settled. And Gormley, you see the man.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Fuck, I forgot about that.
Yeah. The guy, there he is. And he's aged. I mean, how many years is it? 30, 40 years?
It's been 25
years. And not to be rude, he looks great. And you, time has not been as gentle on Gormley.
The elements have taken their toll.
Right, she's seen a few winters.
Does he recognize me? Well, he must have heard the name.
He is not making any eye contact with you.
Oh, he would have to know it's you.
He would have to know.
He would have to. Yeah. She's famous
that
in town.
Fucking dick.
Halgra says, anyways,
Gormley stares at him. She may or may not cast evil eye on him.
He's just watching Halgra. Not even, like, he's looking up to the head of the table, has not even acknowledged the four of your presence.
Galabras is noticing this interchange between the two of them and wondering what's happening. Not going to say anything, but just wondering.
Yeah, you must feel the tension that Gormley is exhibiting. Halgra says, please have a seat, everyone, and let's get down to business. I don't want to waste any more time. Gentlemen, lady, with the information that we've gleaned from some of the orc prisoners we've captured, and obviously everything you've told us from your capture of Screed, or when you were able to talk to him before the dwarf murdered him in cold blood. I'm reading this from my notes.
Shut him!
Trunel's Council of Defenders.
These are your words.
These are your words.
I'm reading the account here, word by word. Shot in cold blood.
With concentrated acid for blood.
These are your words. All this bullshit you think is so important, you can kiss all that goodbye.
Let's just do a dramatic reenactment of Aliens. Yeah, right now.
Just
can do the
that
whole
scene.
Thing.
Let's just do that scene.
It says he was murdered with a magical hand banger. We don't know what this is. What is a hand banger? Be that as it may. Trunau's Council of Defenders is worried that the town's orc troubles are far from over. Thanks to your help, this Grenseldeck, the orc's hill giant chieftain, was clearly unable to recover the items that she so covetously sought from the tomb, which you've now realized is Oscroth's tomb, whoever that may be, and basically the council fears another attack on Trunau in the near future. To that end, we have discussed this as a council, and what we would like from you is for you, the four of you, to go to Grenseldeck's lair. And deal with this giant chieftain and her orc tribe before they can attack Trunau again. As far as we know, we know exactly where she is. It's an old abandoned outpost near the River Esk called Red Lake Fork. It's all near. Are you familiar with Harkest's blockade?
Tom?
No.
Tom's like, oh, let me tell you about Harkus Blockade. Halgra, you mind if I jump in here? So basically, back in the day, there were a lot of orcs and a lot of humans, and they fought a lot. And the little barrier, the line, what do you call it? The
Horde line.
The Horde line used to move a lot. And one of the big blockades was known as Harkus Blockade, and it fell. And here we are.
I say, under my breath, if only a dwarf was there to help build it. And I'm ready to right those wrongs.
Hmm. Strong words.
No one can hear it. Not even Tom.
He heard it, apparently.
Tom hears all.
Can't spell blockade without dwarf. Back to you, Halgra. Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
Everyone here is just barely tolerating him.
So
I just imagine Jagrin with this guy. He must be like, this fucking guy.
He's such a mansplainer.
He is a mansplainer.
He's well loved in the community.
Everyone's bought life insurance from him as well.
Basically, gentlemen and lady, due to your recent heroism during the orc raid and what you did in under Bloodmarch Hill, we believe that you are best suited to this task. Our militia and our citizens, those who remain, are needed to rebuild the town's defense after this orc attack, so that if... And she, the kind of implication getting is like, she cuts off, but she's saying like, if you don't return, we need to be ready in case things go awry.
In case they are able to mount another attack.
Right. you know, while you guys are off, or if you don't come back, then you can't just, we can't send the whole militia and all the citizens out there and then leave the, you know, the inner quarter in shambles just to get
Gormley destroyed. Speaks up and says, so we're expendable.
No, please. I apologize if I gave off that, that vibe.
it's just like Lord of the Rings.
We just think that this is a mission of subterfuge. It isn't something that we can just send a huge group of people in there. It would be all out war. The deaths would be, we would lose in an entire army. We need to send heroes.
So you want us to take out their leadership and the rest will crumple when they're gone.
That is our hope. If Grenseldeck and her orc tribe are taken down, there's a good chance Trunau will be safe for years and years to come.
You have any idea of how far away this is? How long of a journey is it to Grenseldeck's lair?
Is it in the Mindspin Mountains?
No. It's north of here. But this is the complicated part, and another reason why we can't use militia. If you are able to do this, I have already secured passage for you aboard a keelboat that regularly plies the rivers of southern Belkson. The riverboat's captain, a half-orc who I know personally.
Wink, wink, wink.
Reed, fuck buddy.
His name is Rag Bloodtusk. He has agreed to transport you up the river-esque to a location near the Red Lake Fork in exchange for your efforts in helping sail the boat and also defending it from any dangerous river denizens that you may come across. Now you may be thinking, why can't we just go, if it's north, if it's true north, why can't you just go north? And the fact of the matter is, overland travel to Red Lake Fork would be as foolhardy as it is dangerous, because it would take you straight through the orc-infested hold of Belkson. It's a suicide mission.
Pardon me, though. You seem to really gloss over the term dangerous river denizens. I think that's what you said. What kind of dangers are we facing going on this boat?
Well, it's the wild. I mean, I'm sending you into the wild. There are natural dangers, bears, sharks, all manner of creatures, but, you know, you will be with a good crew.
It's basically like Australia times three.
I would say times 2.5.
It sounds like we're headed into the heart of darkness.
Yes, perhaps you are. But the good news is Rag's riverboat is well known among the orc tribes along the river, and this man who, between you and me, used to be a gladiator back in the day, now is a retired as into a riverboat captain, he enjoys rights of safe passage from these tribes' chieftains. Even though he's a half-orc, the orcs do not bother him, which, again, makes the river journey far safer than trying to travel overland. I mean, we can't send our whole militia straight north, straight through the orc hordes, to get to this fort. You have to take the river. And Rag is a good, good, well-hung man. And I think, he is our best option if this is something that you are willing to do. There is some help that we can give you along the way. Mm. So before you answer, Silvermane, please step forward.
Yeah.
And you see this venerable old elf. See, I used venerable the right
way. That was the correct use of venerable.
Yeah!
Congratulations.
I put a skill point in the smart.
My boy's wicked smart. My boy's wicked smart. How do you like them apples?
This venerable old elf, played by Donald Sutherland, walks up. And he has watched over the Trunau's Hope Spring for as long as, Gormley, when you were a kid in walking around Trunau, he was running the Hope Spring. Lork, when you were a thuggy teen, he was running the Hope Spring. And he just kind of steps up. Obviously, you saved his life. You're familiar with him. He's familiar with you. And similarly to what he did at the end of when you saw him at the sanctuary, he's speaking in some sort of like weird sign language that only Halgra understands. So they have some sort of shorthand together. And she's like, I'm going to translate for him, if that's all right. He's going, moving with his hands, and she's like, there is a place known only as the Vault of Thorns. It is a demiplane that was once created by the Druidic Council of Thorns, of which Silvermane was once a member. Sorry, translating. the entrance to this vault is located within an area known as Ghostlight Marsh. It's a swamp to the northeast, surrounding the confluence of the Kestrel and Esk rivers. Silvermane, hold on for a second. So basically, this journey would have you going up the Kestrel, yes? Which goes sort of northwest, and then it turns.
Northeast.
Excuse me, yes, goes northeast, and then it turns to go northwest to get to Red Lake Fork. So somewhere near that confluence, just beyond that, is where the Ghostlight Marsh is. Please continue, Silvermane. Yes, a swamp to the northeast, surrounding the confluence. So he says that the vault contains a cache of items that can help you in your fight against this twisted heart menace. But he has no specific details about these items. In order to find this demiplane, this Vault of Thorns, you should look for a marker in the form of a circle of thorns carved into a stone near the banks of the River Esk. This marker should put you on the right path through the swamp to find the vault. But...
Wait, say that again. A circle of thorns...
carved into a stone near the banks of the River Esk. Once you find that, it will point you in the right direction through the swamp to find the vault. But, as it is on another plane, the entrance to the vault, to the demiplane, is hidden. At this point, Silvermane reaches down to the floor and pulls up this leaf-embossed brass lantern and hands it to Halgra. And Halgra just places it in front of her on the marble ivory table. She goes, this is known as the ghost light lantern. Silvermane says it to her, if the husk of a dead will-o-wisp is placed inside the lantern, the lamp will produce a beacon that points directly to the circle of standing stones that marks the vault's entrance. So once you reach the druidic circle, you need only wash this supernaturally fueled lantern's light over the central standing stone within this circle of stones to open the portal into the Vault of Thorns.
What's a will-o-wisp?
It's a...
A will-o-wisp is a... spiritual denizen of the marsh. They appear as dancing lights.
That's correct.
How does one defeat it?
Orc semen.
Traditionally orc semen. but if you take this lantern, you put a dead will-o-wisp husk in the lantern, follow the beacon to the circle of standing stones and wash the glow from this lantern on the center stone, and it will open the portal to the Vault of Thorns.
I have a bit of a practical question for you.
Yes, you in the back.
Yes, I'm down low, but I'm actually pretty close to you. You know, you seem to have this whole plant figured out. Why in tarnation have you not done it yourselves?
Because we're the badasses.
I mean, I think that's an easy answer if you understand you're going along a Pathfinder, like, role-playing campaign, yeah. But I still want to ask it. I don't think it's crazy to ask that question.
No. Like, our characters in this situation would absolutely have to ask that question. I mean, the obvious answer is because otherwise there's no adventure.
Right. But I mean, clearly. But
the characters would certainly ask that question.
It's a fair question. I mean, this new information about this hammer and this rock and everything you found, we realize who caused this attack. And we know through our, you know, our scouts where this lair is. But we cannot empty the town to go attack it. We need people like yourselves to take this other route.
A specialized small group, special forces.
To sneak in there. And I mean, sure, we could ask Kirst has volunteered, but we need him here. We need to defend the town while also taking on this threat. You can say no, but we just believe what you've done for this town already. There's no greater hope for Trunau than the four of you.
What's in it for us? Did the Master of Coin approve this expenditure?
And Peter Baelish, kind of...
That's beautiful.
Aidan Gillen turns to Gormley. Says, "We must do what's right for the town. I have always done what's right for the town."
Fuck! What a jerk!
Still,
fuck this.
Galabras is looking like, what the fuck is he talking about? What's going on with these two?
Lorg is pretty oblivious. True, he's like, yeah, right? Yeah. Anyway.
Which is usually what they've told you, right?
We do what needs to be done. As someone who has been exiled, perhaps it's best you return to your woods and mountains and caves.
Mental
notes.
But
at least
you'll
have these men to protect you.
Damn it, she's been with me side by side in the trenches, and she has been one of the only reasons this town is not the smoldering pit that it should be right now. And you will not talk to her that way again, or damn it, I will leave this room right now.
Halgrim's like, gentlemen, please. Calm.
Rhubarb, the crowd.
I will turn into a giant right here and now.
I will righteous bite the shit out of you.
Order in the court. Kessin, do you have something on your mind? No, Chief Defender. I just, whatever you think is best. And he just...
This slimy fuck.
I don't like this guy.
And Gormley just knows that the only reason he's even been raised to a position of power...
It's because of his money.
Is he probably did shit like that his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping on the little people to get to the top. I mean, just a scant 25 years ago, you were finger-banging in the play company. And now he can't even look at you in the eye.
He was using his little finger to bang.
You see what he did?
See what he did?
Nailed it.
I'm going to go high five.
Woo!
Yeah. I hope the mics pick that up.
Little finger banging.
So she says, what is this something that you would be interested and able to do? I understand that we're asking a lot of you, and I feel horrible even asking after you've done so much already, but it's clear that the four of you are special, and I don't throw this word around a lot, but I feel like you are destined for something greater than this. So I'm not saying you're our only hope, but you're our only hope.
I must say, Glaber stands. I agree. There is some greater force at work here. This task, I believe, is appointed to us somehow. But my chief duty now is to my friends. If they agree to do this task, I will certainly go. But if they do not, if they, any one of them do not, I shall not.
If Jagran has agreed to release me from my service to the militia, at least here in the walls of the city, I would not let these friends that I've made go into this perilous journey without a giant hunter. I have experience with this, and I'd be honored to employ the skills that I've learned from the Black Arrows to hunt this grizzled dick down and take her out.
I believe it's Grenzeldeck, Tom says.
Tom, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Gotta hear my notes. Grenzeldeck.
But yes, I'm not much use to the town now, as is, so I think I'd be of more use hunting giants. That's all I'm going to say.
If these people want to go, I'll go with them, since apparently I've never been welcome here anyway.
Cold. Ice cold.
Well, God damn it. I've only been put upon this godforsaken rock to take care of what my own people put on this place. So I'm here to stop the orcs, to stop the giants, to stop savagery from taking over this land. And if I have to be savage to do it, God damn it, I will. I'm going out there and I'm saving your town. And when we walk back, all four of us, we walk back as equals. Or else I'm going to have a bone to pick with whoever doesn't treat each of us like the heroes we are.
Rhubarb.
You truly are all great men. And a woman! And a woman. Thank you, Tom.
So perceptive, Tom, as always.
He is really sharp. It is tough to get one past him.
We appreciate your offer, your acceptance of our, what we're asking of you, this great demand, or however, whatever you want to call it. We want to show our appreciation to you as best we can. Galabras, it's to my knowledge. Would you mind all standing, actually?
Galabras stands. Do you want us to stand?
Please.
As players?
Not as players. You gotta stay on mic.
I was ready to stand. I was in it.
I could take my mic out. I'll stand up. I'll fuck it. Here, look. I'm standing up.
Get a standing up. Oh, Captain, my captain.
Yeah. Galabras, I'll stand on the table.
Galabras, you have come to our town as an outsider, and at the risk of... We don't mean to embarrass you in front of the group, but we understand that you have encountered great hardship on your way to Trunau, and hopefully that hardship has ended and you feel like you have a real place here. We, the people of Trunau, the council, want to offer you a home in the inner quarter so that you no longer have to sleep on bloody
blood-soaked
mattress.
Bloody patch of straw.
A blood-soaked patch of straw. We have rebuilt a home in the inner quarter specifically for you to live in.
Galabras kind of like bows his head and he's kind of like fighting back tears and lifts his head and he says, "This is a lovely gesture. I've lost the only home I've ever known. I was cast out like some of my friends here. And this is it's a very nice thought to think that I could be welcome and make a new home.
We just want you to know that wherever your travels take you, you will always have a home in Trunau.
This is the only home that I know now, and I will defend it with my life if I have to.
Thank you. Thank you, Calabrus.
Can I sit down now?
Please. Baron, would you come to us? Baron, you are also an outsider. We don't know much of your history, but actions speak louder than biographies. What you have done with your magic handbanger truly cannot be overstated. So, sort of piggybacking on what we've given to Galabras, we would like to offer you this as a symbol of our appreciation to what you've done to Trunau. And she offers you a hope knife.
Whoa.
And she goes to put it around your neck.
Baron, uncharacteristically, to some eyes, bows his head and accepts it. And he straightens it once it's on his neck. He looks down at it. He looks at his friends before he looks at the people. And he says, I've never seen any craftsmanship finer than this. And I'm from the Five Kings Mountains.
Sarah nods her head. Thank you.
She never sounded like this before now. I love it. And then he...
this experience has changed her.
He nods.
It's the smoke inhalation. The smoke.
He nods and he says, thank you for welcoming me to your town.
Gormley, we know of your history with Trunau, and we know that you have been self-exiled. Maybe that's not fair. You were exiled.
That's straight.
Yeah.
Exiled.
Out of shame.
You chose to leave this town.
You chose to leave before we could have, not we, it was before my time would have removed you. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that is an egregious affront to clearly another strong woman. And I know a strong woman when I see one. So I wish that there was a way that I could offer you the past 25 years of your life back. Who knows how different it would be. But I will say to you that you are always welcome in Trunau. And for you to consider yourself a citizen again within these walls. You never have to hang your head in shame or walk around with a fake mustache. This is your home now and forever. If you will take us back, remember that the life that you used to have here and the people that hurt you, this is a different generation. And at that, Kessin Plum just slams his fist on the table and storms out of the room.
Whoa.
I apologize. I know this is someone from your past, and hopefully the past will end there. We all welcome you with open arms. And as you can see, as when you walk down the street or creep around the library, you are well loved, and we love you. Welcome home.
The only shame I ever felt was putting my trust in people like you. I'll make my home wherever I want, whenever I want.
Snap.
I understand. Sometimes old wounds cannot be healed by honeyed words.
That's pretty good. I didn't know you were smart. Huh?
Put that on a fortune cookie. Yeah,
tweet that out, huh?
Wow.
Fire, huh?
Gold.
Yeah.
You don't know the half of it.
And Sergeant Iron Tusk, and just as she starts to speak, Jagrin puts his hand on her hand
Oh, fuck.
As if to say, I'd like to step in here. He stands up. Curse kind of takes a step or two forward to his father, because you never know what Jigrin's going to say or do.
He's like, Dad. You're on the record.
Crazy racist uncle at Thanksgiving.
He says, Paul Giamatti, Sergeant, please come over here.
Lork walks over.
Walks over. And is Lork like at attention, or is he kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Sashaying over.
No, he's like out of... He's totally nervous about what this guy... He's basically convinced that the guy's going to be like, we're not going to be able to let you go. Or so, you know what I mean? Like some bullshit bureaucratic, like, rules thing where he's not going to be allowed to go.
Yeah. He kind of stands. He's got his chin up, his lips pursed.
And Lork's like... I mean, if he's Paul Giamatti, Lork's like a foot taller than this guy.
He's looking up at you.
Yeah.
Kind of got a scowl on his face. He's got that permanent... bitch face scowl.
Like Giamatti.
And he says, he finally breaks the silence. When I found out that my son was dating a half-orc, I yelled at him. I screamed at him. I shunned him. I shamed him for what he did. And now he's dead. And I can only wonder, had I accepted his choice, had I accepted your people, maybe things would have been different. I think that I, even in my old age, have a lot to learn. I want to thank you for saving the town, for bringing this ragtag group of weirdos together.
Hey!
We're weird.
I do not, however, release you from your duty.
I fucking knew it.
I, in fact, order you to leave these walls. Oh. And he sticks his hand out. Lieutenant Iron Tusk.
Oh, that is fucking awesome.
Field commission, yo.
Wow, like Lork's hand is like shaking. Holy shit, that's like officer, man.
Yeah, you're
that's
officer,
fucking officer.
Wow.
Out from behind the desk.
From criminal to officer.
Yeah.
You're like Richard Gere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so he takes his hand and shakes it, and he's just like, he's pretty overwhelmed. He can't even believe it. Then Lieutenant, he thought you could never get that in your whole life.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like a shady background, criminal, enlisted guy, you know?
Started from the bottom.
Yeah.
And you didn't even have to have kung fu fighting with him to get there like Richard Gere did. That's incredible.
And then he just salutes you.
Salute wow. back.
An officer and a gentle orc.
Lieutenant Iron Tusk. I would have to change my character sheet. I'm excited.
My character sheet.
When Lork sits back down, Galabras like pats him on the back and is like, yeah.
Yeah, and Lork has this grin on his face like he's a kid. Yeah. You know, like to Galabras. He's like, yeah!
In that moment, you don't feel any pain in your knee.
It subsides for a second.
Ain't going to be raining anytime soon. But of course, with all this, everybody's happy except fucking Gormley.
Yeah.
It's just...
Those are some deep wounds there for Gormley. Like, they're not going to be...
Not going to be healed.
Healed by some honeyed words.
Right. And she's probably like, fucking Galabras got a house. Yeah.
honestly, that's what everyone is thinking.
Getting him a house?
Like, Lork this guy didn't even have to get a hope knife first. He just got a house.
He's got a house, yeah.
Lork got more work.
Yeah, he got extra duty.
Oh, hey. He's an officer now, though. Like, you know what? He's promoted over Omos.
You know what?
Oh, yeah.
You know, think about that.
Yeah.
So Omos is his inferior in terms of the rank. I love that. That's fucking
a nice,
awesome.
Pay raise, too.
As much as Lork doesn't, quote unquote, get anything, this promotion in rank is huge.
Yeah, it's fucking huge.
Especially
like
for a guy that's been behind a desk all these years.
Yeah.
It's awesome, and I'm so happy he got it.
Yeah, thanks, man.
And it's more like a police lieutenant than like an army lieutenant, because that's the
higher rank.
Yeah, it's the equivalent rank is much higher. So like
right, in the army, you'd go from like sergeant to like staff sergeant.
Right, right.
Yeah, so
it's the difference between and with police, it's the difference between like a patrol cop and like a lieutenant detective. You know what I mean? Like there's a huge jump.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Super exciting. That's awesome.
So cool.
You're so cool. Troy.
Let's give it up for Troy.
No matter what. This won't last.
Yeah.
Nope.
I got a house.
Should we roll for initiative right now?
Or? Publisher's clearing house over here. Fucking Ed McMahon showed up to collaborate.
Like that ABC show where they like build you a house.
They build you a house. Yeah. They pull the bus away and there's a house.
What is that show? Home
Stream Maker.
Fuckers.
Home Makeover.
Home Makeover.
Of course, Matthew does.
I watch it constantly. Actually, I don't. Bob Vila, on the other hand.
I just realized there's two Catherine Zeta-Jones in the room. I just remembered, rather.
Which one to flirt with.
I kind of like the high-fidelity Catherine Zeta-Jones.
100%.
But, I mean, there's something sexy and unattainable about entrapment Catherine Zeta-Jones, so I get that. But, like, I love that high-fidelity.
Even Sean Connery had to work his ass off to have sex with her in that movie.
Entrapment Catherine Zeta-Jones, you just have to be rich and powerful enough and old enough, and then she'll marry you, and that's all.
That's true.
So you can look forward to something.
Yeah, if Lore keeps getting promotions, maybe one day it'll happen for him.
So you guys have agreed, three of you willingly, one kicking and screaming.
Well, she agreed to go with her friend.
I agree 100%.
She did not agree to the contract with the town.
Yeah, she's not doing it on behalf of the town. She's doing it to support her friend.
Loyalty to the friends, not to the town that betrayed her.
Right.
And she says, if you have no further questions, here is a letter of introduction to give to Blood Tusk. He'll be waiting for you on the southern bank of the Kestrel River.
So
Godspeed.
The Kestrel River it's actually south of Trunau, yes?
The river is about 18 miles north of Trunau. I'll show you a map.
Okay, all right. That doesn't matter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Gormley says, "Good luck."
Same to you. Tom will see you out.
Nobody expects the Thomas exposition.
Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, fellas. So how'd it go in there? Everything good? Everybody ready to go?
Yeah, Galabra's got a house.
So do you guys have any questions about Ghostlight Marsh or the river? Anything you need to know?
Yes. Exactly how, Tom, does one defeat a Will-O-Wisp?
That's a hell of a question. Roll knowledge, geography, history, or nature?
I'll roll knowledge, nature. This is my first die roll in a couple episodes.
The book two die roll.
Ooh, hey, 23 knowledge, nature.
25 for Gormley.
24.
God damn it.
History for...
Oh, knowledge, history, okay.
Well, let me tell you what I know. And he pulls you to the side. You guys rolled really well. One of the DCs was 25 plus, and you got it. Basically, Ghostlight Marsh is a vast tract of swampland along the shores of the River Esk. Hal Grotty told you this. The current border between the Hold of Belkson and Last Wall runs right through the swamp. Both orcs and humans tend to avoid the marsh due to countless tales of strange floating lights. Now, Last Wall's northern border with Belkson has been pushed back multiple times over the centuries, as I'm sure most of you, anyone who knows their history would know this. Now, when the second of these borders, Harkis Blockade, that Halgrim mentioned, was overrun by the orcs, some stood resolute, seeing themselves as sort of protectors of the land. And this Council of Thorns that Silvermane talked about, it was a militant druid circle who despised the orcs' defilement of the land that these creatures conquered. These druids attempted to stand their ground. However, while the druids' fight was valiant, the Council of Thorns was eventually driven back to the swamp and defeated by the orcs. Come closer.
I lean in.
Now, here's what they don't tell you. Here's what they don't tell you in the history books.
Get it together, Tom. Get it together.
I need a glass of water.
It's another mini stroke from Troy.
That in the history books. So, everybody shut up. For those of you that rolled over 20...
I love how literal Tom Exposition is.
I got a little tidbit for you, okay? Here's the real story. Faced with sure defeat at the hands of these orcs, the druids of the Council of Thorns made a final stand in the swamp. But they sacrificed themselves in a bloody ritual. They didn't just die. They weren't just murdered by the orcs. They sacrificed themselves. As the druids' dying bodies just slumped into this swampy muck, all of a sudden, vengeful will-o-wisps rose from the marsh and drove the orc army out of the swamp. These cruel and capricious aberrations have guarded Ghostlight Marsh from intrusion ever since.
Are they able to tell the difference between friend and foe? Can we ally ourselves with them?
One would hope, because what I think is these will-o-wisps are just reincarnations of the druids of the Council of Thorns.
Yeah.
So that you're telling me that they aren't going to like anyone green-skinned? Oh, boy. Rolls eyes at Lork.
I would think that.
What about lieutenants with green skin?
Oh, I didn't see your oak leaves there.
It's a major, damn it.
I would hope that these will-o-wisps still retain some of the memories of their former druid selves, and they can separate the good from the evil. But what do I know? I just sell cars.
What's a car?
That sounds even more advanced than my guns. That car you got there.
So there might be a way
to diplomacy them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck.
Yeah. Or if we have any, this might be way too far outside, but spirits like to hold on to a life they can no longer have. So if we have any type of paraphernalia that leads back to their order of the roses, what was it called?
The Council of Thorns.
Council of Thorns. If we have any Council of Thorns paraphernalia that might kind of snap them back into sense, like a smelling salt, that
like
might be
like a vanity
worth.
License plate.
Well, maybe
their sigil.
Maybe the lantern. The lantern is a...
Well, they gotta be dead to be
put in
there.
Yeah, we need a corpse of one of them to put in the lantern.
Yeah.
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 This is... Well, we're certainly not going to figure this out now, so... No.
But any books we can take on the Council of Thorns and those people to go with us, we should take at some point
in
the future.
Yeah.
What else can you tell us, Tom?
Well, I can tell you, I have... a used Cutlass Supreme. And for only $3,000,
you could drive
to Red Lake Fork.
No,
You won't need this rags blood tusk at all.
See, he's got to write the number down on a piece of paper and slide it across the desk to you. It doesn't just say it.
I'm going to write a number on a piece of paper.
Thank you. Okay.
I think you'll find this more than fair.
Are you sitting down?
And he just slides the paper across the table.
Is that your boomeranger? Is that the one you sell and just comes back every couple months and you sell it again?
I asked Tom Exposition if the 18-mile journey to meet up with the riverboat captain is normally something that can be done safely via foot, or if there are any alternate means of transportation or horses that can be borrowed to us to reach that destination.
And don't try to sell us a car again.
Please.
Well,
the council,
you should mention horses. I got a horse. And for only $5,000, I can get you this one. Listen, I would say leave tomorrow early morning, take your time, and the road there should be pretty uneventful. It's only 18 miles north, but you're in safe territory, especially after this
this battle has been quelled.
I would like to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So the Twisted Heart Grenzeldeck.
Yes.
She's tried to enlist the help of the Twisted Nail tribe. Is that correct?
From what I understand, yes.
I've done some reading
mm.
in the archives, and the Twisted Nail tribe seems quite a nasty bunch.
Well, they are orcs, after all.
Well, they are orcs, but they're particularly nasty orcs, which is saying a lot. They're cannibals.
Ooh.
And they're quite feared, even by other orc tribes in the Mindspin Mountains.
Well, it seems like this giant knows what she's doing, enlisting their help. Giants and orcs working together? Mass hysteria!
I've seen shit that'll turn you green!
Well, Tom, can you accompany us? I mean, we could always use the help.
We could always use
You look like you're good in a fight.
I don't even have armor. I'd never make it back alive.
That's a seersucker suit plus three. That's got to be at least a 9 armor bonus.
And then your cutlass supreme.
Are you saying you like this suit?
Drive away.
I do.
For only 300 gold. You could walk out of here with this suit. And I'll go home in my birthday suit. We got a deal? He sticks his hand up.
The ladies love it. Ladies love when I make this deal.
Hey, listen, guys, I'm talking your ear off. Clearly you're not interested in buying anything. I'm going to head home. You guys should do the same. Rest up. Leave in the morning. 18 miles north of here. Find that keelboat. Hand him the letter. He's a cool guy from what I hear. Likes white women. Jesus. Good luck. He runs off.
Gormley, you're in luck.
Gormley, you're in line.
Oh, man.
Holy.
Wow. Okay. Well, I guess I... Is my house ready yet?
It's going to take a couple days.
All right, well, I'm just
if
gonna...
you don't save your house from this imminent invasion, it's going to be worthless to you. So.
I know.
The house is kind of close to where Lorx is, so you'd be neighbors.
Oh, that'd be great.
Aww.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. Have a little garden. You can like lean over the wall, talk to each other.
Can you stare into the window of Lorx's room and just see it hopelessly empty at all times?
Just if on, you know about me... If I saw
all right, so what are we doing? Are we resting the Gormley. Night?
Are we staying at the Gramble House still? Or you're not? I'm staying at the Gramble House, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, you can stay on your cot in the
no.
sanctuary.
No.
Your cot days are over?
Yeah, no more cots for this guy.
Yeah, I'll stay at home.
Gormley would like to go find a certain individual. Before we go.
Holy shit. This okay. is a solo mission. So, and I like it.
So I'm assuming you just kind of ask around town, like, how do I find this guy?
Yeah, and she has been doing recons.
So right. And you find out where he lives.
So she goes to the house.
You knock on the door, and a woman answers. It's a beautiful woman. And she says...
Heather Graham?
Played by Heather Graham. And she says...
Sansa,
sorry. How can I help you? We're not interested in buying anything.
I'm not selling anything.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking for Kessen. Kessen Plum. I have business with him.
Okay. Is my husband in trouble?
I don't think so.
Okay, she looks like visibly nervous. Hold on a second. Kessen! Kessen, honey, there's a woman here to see you.
Matthew is furious at his face. He's so mad that you insult him constantly.
Kessen comes up and like says, honey, just go in the other room. Go watch Dateline. Survivor's on next. And so he kind of scurries her off, and he comes outside and shuts the door behind him. What do you want?
Is this your idea, or was it your father's?
What?
To send me away again.
Listen, you dug your own grave the minute you started dabbling with that magic stuff. I hadn't thought about you a day until today.
And Gormley mutters a few words and casts her hand over her face and casts Alter Self.
Oh, ho, ho, ho!
And changes her appearance to look like Gormley from 25 years ago.
This is some drama.
And he's just like,
not a day.
I had no choice. I had no choice. You don't understand. My father.
You always had a choice.
We would have been shunned. We would have been thrown out of town.
She and Gormley, young, beautiful Gormley, reaches forward and grabs her around the neck and says, I had a choice too. We all had choices.
What could I have done? What could I have done?
Apparently nothing. She lets him go.
He kind of falls to the ground, helpless. Looks up at her. He's like, I just want to live my life. I just want to pretend it never happened.
Well, you can pretend all you want. I hope your pretend life is happy. But this town, it will never last. And she walks away.
So bottle cap.
Yeah, that's bottle cap. That's bottle cap.
Yeah, there we go.
I think it went over your head.
Nicely dubbed.
Through it. A bottle. Wow. It's behind that blue, brown cushion.
Okay.
Wow.
That was awesome.
Wow.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
Wow. Okay. So. Wow, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, shit.
So you guys, the next day, do you make your way to the keelboat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like pre-dawn. We want to...
Yeah, out early.
I think we want to avoid any fanfare. We want to just like...
Slip out of town.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you assume there would be some sort of like a parade.
Theron is now wearing a belt of heavy load, and he is visibly weighted down by bottles of whiskey. Like they're just sticking out of every corner of his body. He's like, I'm ready to go.
Net bags of
whiskey cashed in his whole lifetime at that fucking bar. Like,
whoa! You said free drinks for life.
I'll take them all right now.
So you guys leave early the next day, and you walk out of the gates, which have been like sort of rebuilt, not very well, but you make your way out through those portcullis where the orcs were ramming through with the barricade, and you just kind of all have these flashbacks of the battles that were going on at those barricades, and you get back out, and as you're walking north, you see the Hope Spring in the distance. You see the Barter Stones, where Lork was launched from a catapult.
Good times.
Lieutenant Lork.
Lieutenant Lork.
Not at the time. Not at the time.
Not at the time.
Technicality.
Like I said, you saw the Hope Spring, and you see where the hole was that was the entranceway into Ascroth's tomb, the cave, has been completely sealed over.
Yeah.
So you guys see this as
a new stone shaped spell.
Yeah. Was it magically or just like they piled?
They piled cement or whatever. Yeah. They blocked it up.
They walled it up.
They walled it up.
Okay.
And you guys just kind of
you Joe'd that answer. It's like you had no creative thought left for that particular question.
Use glue.
You literally said they use cement.
They use cement. They use popsicle sticks and string. And so you guys begin the trek north, and 18 miles on foot, as I'm sure you can imagine, takes the better part of the day. As you go north, you do walk within maybe a couple football fields of Jason's burial place. Mm-hmm. And Lorca, you probably don't want to make a big deal out of it, but I can imagine you wistfully turning to the side and seeing it in the distance under a tree where Jason was buried and when you had your prayer vigil. And you continue walking, and you arrive at the southern bank of the Kestrel River in the early evening.
Mm. A whole day, yeah.
And what you see is this rather large, modified keelboat. As far as you can tell, I don't know if any of you have any nautical experience. It looks to have a pretty sturdy wooden hull.
I've been on a shipwreck.
Yes, you have. So you would see, like, the craft looks seaworthy. Mm-hmm. But you can also tell that it looks like it's been scavenged from other... assembled from, like, the scavenged wrecks of other ships. Mm. Like, they took
the scow.
The best parts of other boats. So it looks ungainly, but sturdy. Mm. It's got a wide forecastle in the front and a tower-like structure on the bow.
The bow is the front.
Yes, right
the
there.
Aft.
So it's
the
on,
aft, maybe?
On the forecastle, there's a tower at the bow. And then there's a high aft castle, the stern. You'd say the boat is about 120 feet long, 30 feet wide. It has a single mast with a large sail, as well as rowing banks. You see rowing banks from out the side.
I see a map in our future.
How many O-masts does it have? Just curious.
How many O-masts does it take to ride this boat? And you also hear horses whinnying.
Within the boat? From within the boat?
On deck. You can hear
There's stables on deck.
You hear horses whinnying.
Hmm.
So as you guys approach, who has the letter?
Lork. Lieutenant Lork. So I'll go up to the half-orc. Rags, I'm assuming he's there.
Yeah, as you guys are approaching this beefy-looking, ripped dude, you know, but you know he's like a retired gladiator, but it looks like he still lifts.
Yeah.
He comes strutting off the boat towards you.
Galabras, like, kind of shies away, like, folds his arms.
This guy's, you rags, Blug Tusk.
He,
Blug
Tusk. He's got, like, scars on his face, and he, on his back, you see, he has a scimitar and a kukri.
Oh, ooh. Fucking badass.
Like, kind of strapped to his back.
Foreign weapons.
And he's played by J.K. Simmons.
Oh, nice.
Oh, great cameo.
Oh, shit.
Holy shit.
Not my tempo.
So he's a legit actor.
Wait, is he human or is he a half-orc?
He's a half-orc.
He's a half-orc, okay.
Yep.
So green J.K. Simmons.
Right, a green J.K. Simmons.
Okay.
Okay, so he comes walking up. Find a voice for him.
Do an accent.
So are you the crew?
Okay, that's not what I want. Let's do something.
Oh, it's just so entertaining.
Wait, how does Lork sound? Do Lork.
Hey there, Blood Tusk.
Hey there, Blood Tusk. So are you the crew?
No, we're passengers, I think, on this ride.
Well, then we're getting off to a wrong foot already. Because I was told by Halgra that you'd be here to help and not just be passengers.
Well,
so you know. There are no passengers on my boat. There are workers.
But we're all willing to help.
Good.
Isn't that right, Baron?
I think with enough time, I could have this boat up to seafaring shape. But we'll see. We'll see what I can do.
Talking shit to the captain. That's a good way to start.
All right. I heard you were a bunch of heroes. Well, on this ship, there are no heroes. You're a part of the crew, and you're expected to partake in daily duties aboard the vessel and defend the boat while we're in hostile waters.
Aye, defend that we can do.
Good. Come on aboard.
All right.
Start trudging up the gangplank. I love it. I didn't know we were going to get on a boat.
Yeah,
this is great.
And you get on this fucking boat.
Yeah. We're on a boat. Yeah.
And you see a crew of just other half-orcs kind of running around. You would say that there's maybe like 8 crew members. And then there is a, obviously, Captain Rag Blood Tusk. 8 crew members, and then a hatch on the main deck opens up, and a female orc comes out.
Oh.
Sarah?
Played by Katie Sagal.
Oh, wow. From Married with Children.
Married with Children.
Oh.
Beautiful.
Also the voice of Leela.
Leela from Futurama, yeah.
And Sons of Anarchy.
And she says,
"Yeah,
Blood Tusk, are these the women we have joining the crew? You got a dwarf, a woman, a little boy, and an old man.
Great! And she just goes into like a set of double doors on the main deck and slams them behind her.
Damn.
And Rag's like, that's my coxswain. She's
what?
Well, coxswain?
That's my coxswain, yes.
There's no Q-U in that word, Troy.
Coxswain. Her name is Halrax. She's a little rough around. Wait, that's not his voice.
His name.
He sounds a lot like Screed and Doc Tani.
Keep his voices
He sounds just like the other orcs.
That's my coxswain hat. That's my coxswain, Halrax.
There you go. That's his voice.
She's a bit rough around the edges, but she's good people, and she's a good coxswain.
We're like fucking seventh graders.
Yeah, I wish everyone could see this shit-eating grin on Troy's face right now.
Coxswain. Now listen.
I love this here, Swain.
As I mentioned before, if you're going to be on this boat, you're going to have to do work. So here's some jobs. I will give you the option of choosing what you want to do.
I'll do it this afternoon.
You'll do it now and you'll like it. Now, the plan is to shove off in the early morning. It should take 6 days, barring any unforeseen circumstances that delay us.
I'm sure there won't be any delays.
No. None at all.
Release the Kraken.
A completely uneventful trip.
You haven't read this book. You don't know. Now listen.
Kraken.
So it takes 6 days. It'll take about 3.5 days to go up the River Kestrel. There, we'll meet at a confluence, and we'll turn and take the River Esk. Now, the journey along the River Esk is much rougher waters than the water at the Kestrel. So we have horses on deck, and he motions to the side, and you see stables with a bunch of horses in them. So what we do is we tie the horses to the boat, and the horses drag us upstream close to the shore.
Oh, that's geez. Cool.
So they're like, they're draft horses rather than like riding horses.
Yes.
Okay.
Clearly you know your way around a horse.
Yes. And a boat.
So 3.5 days along the Kestrel, we'll tie the horses on and we'll bring it up the Esk. Any questions?
What are the jobs?
That was what I was just going to tell you. The four of you can pick any of these jobs. I need someone to help cook. I need someone to help haul in the day's catch. A fisherman. I need a lookout. I need people who are strong that can help row the boat. Huh? Not to mention that I need strength to bring up the fishing nets if you people want to eat. But I need strong rowers, and you're working 5-hour shifts on the rowboat. I need someone to help with the sounding. Do you know what that is? It's basically to help avoid the shallows along the riverbeds.
Yes, to see how deep the river is.
This kid knows. I like you.
Yes.
You get first pick of job.
Mark Twain.
Yep.
And it. Then we need, and he looks at Baron, someone to do the stable mucking.
So perfect.
So I'll let you decide amongst yourselves what you want to do.
Well, I've done a bit of cooking in my time.
So you'd like to help out in the kitchen?
Yes, I certainly wouldn't mind.
Perfect. Gosnock. And he calls a half orc over. Yes, sir. This guy here, what is your name?
Galabras.
Galabras. This is Gosnock. He's the cook. Gosnock. You listen to him, you help him out, all will be well.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, I can also, if it helps, double in size for 30 seconds a day. Just in case, if it comes up.
Listen, we have no time for magic tricks on this ship.
No.
This isn't a cruise ship.
Your boat?
It's not a nightly show.
No. There's no yeoman.
All right. Gosnock will show you the ropes.
Purser.
Very, very nice to meet you. Very nice to meet you.
You, dwarf. Stable mucking?
Well, I could either use my engineering aptitude to help you with sounding, or I could use my alcoholism to help you with fishing.
I'm not sure which one I want to do yet. What could you use the most help with?
I would say fishing. Drinking and fishing go very well together.
Well, I'll make you a fishing lure and a fishing pole you've never, ever thought could exist. I'm excited to help.
Don't come on to me ever again.
All right. I'll pull off and come to the side.
This ain't the Navy. And I'm no seaman.
The erotic adventures of Baron.
The woman, I don't have knitting as a job. But I'm sure there's something you can help with. What floats your boat? Huh?
Howie skitters out of her robes and perches on the top of her head.
What in the Lord is the...
Gromley says, I'll look out for you.
All right. I think I might like you.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Oh! Ooh,
he leans in. That's how I really like him.
Well, we have a possible love interest here for the Corms.
Make her forget about her past loves.
And you, my fellow half-orc, what would you like to do? Fish? Row? Stable muck? Ah, you're too good for stable mucking. I need you to maybe fish or row. What could you do? You look like you could do a lot.
I could fish or row. Rowing would be good exercise, but I've never fished before. I've never spent any time in the water. I think it might be interesting.
All right, then.
I'd like to do both.
All right, then. We'll have you start fishing with your dwarf friend, and I'm sure we can use your help below deck as well.
You let me know when you need me to row. I'll be there.
Good, good. There's a bunch of orcs. I said there's about eight crew members running around. You already met Gosnak, who's the cook. And you, Lork, hear a little commotion just outside of the, like, back on the land. But you're on the boat. Do you, like, look over?
Yeah.
You look over and you...
I'm getting, like... You just, I'm, like, getting weapons ready. Like, is it...
Well,
is
you
like,
just hear a little bit of a commotion, and you look over, and you see one of the orc crew members has an animal in his hands. And he's like, hey, Rag! I found a wolverine here trying to sneak in under the hull. Should I slit its throat? And Rag's like, yeah, take her out. And he's holding the wolverine up, and he's about to slit his throat. And all you see is like flashback. You see the five orcs holding Jasun about to slit Jasun's throat. And you see this like helpless wolverine about to have his throat slit.
No! No!
The orc looks up at you. What?
I'll take it. I'll take it. I screamed out. I can watch it. I'll keep it out of your hair.
It's a rabid wolverine. There's nothing you can do.
Let it go. Watch. Let it go.
If I let this go and I can't catch it again, so help me, our lookout will put an arrow through its eye.
And Lork will he'll just try to say to it. It'll be like,
here. Come here.
He lets the wolverine go, and the wolverine just goes up the gangplank and sits in right in front of Lork's feet. Lork has an animal companion. Yeah.
Nicely done. Nicely done.